Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Yashodanandana Vraja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vannachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vannachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Prajikacharya Ashtokshat Srimadhe Si Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shilu Prabhupada Ki Jai Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Shilu Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai All Glories to Assembled Devotees, All Glories to Assembled Devotees, All Glories to Assembled Devotees. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home, 6:29. मैत्रेय उवाच मातु सपत्न्या वाग्बानेर हृदि विधस्तु तान् स्मरन् नैच्छन् मुक्तिपतेर्मुक्तिं तस्मात्तापम् उपैवान. मैत्रेय उवाच मातु सपत्न्या वाग्बानेर हृदि विदस्तु तान् स्मरन् नैच्छन् मुक्तिर्पतेर्मुक्तिं तस्मात्तापम् उपैवान्. मैत्रेय उवाच मातु सपत्न्या वाग्बानेर हृदि विदस्तु तान् स्मरन् नैच्छन् मुक्तिर्पतेर्मुक्तिं तस्मात्तापमुपैवान्. मैत्रेय उवाच मातु सपत्न्या वाग्बानेर विदस्तु तान् स्मरन् नैच्छन् मुक्तिर्पतेर्मुक्तिं तस्मात्तापमुपैवान्. मैत्रेय उवाच मातु सपत्न्या वाग्बानेर नैच्छन् मुक्तिर्पतेर्मुक्तिं तस्मात्तापमुपैवान्. मातु सपत्न्या वाग्बानेर हृदि विदस्तु तान् स्मरन् नैच्छन् मुक्तिपतेर्मुक्तिं तस्मात्तापम् उपैवान्. माताजीस, वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन. मैत्रेय उवाच द ग्रेट सेज मैत्रेय रिप्लाइड मातुः ऑफ हिज मदर सपत्न्या ऑफ द को वाइफ वाग्बाणे by the arrows of harsh words, Riddhi in the heart, Vidha pierced, Tu then, Tan, all of them, Smaran, remembering, Na, not, Aichat, desired, Muktipate, from the Lord, whose lotus feet give liberation, Muktim, salvation. Tasmad, therefore. Tapam, grief. Upaivan, he suffered. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Maitri answered, Dhruva Maharaj's heart, which was pierced by the arrows of harsh words of his stepmother, was greatly aggrieved. And thus, when he fixed upon his goal of life, he did not forget her misbehavior. He did not demand actual liberation from this material world, but at the end of his devotional service, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared before him, he was simply ashamed of the material demands he had in his mind. Purport. So this is one of the biggest purports Prabhupada has written. And I also want to go along with it. So we'll go step by step after a prayer, just with the purport, and then we'll speak whatever reflections I have. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभयेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. So, just translation once again. Dhruva Maharaj's heart, which was pierced by the arrows of the harsh words of his stepmother, was greatly aggrieved. And thus, when he fixed upon his goal of life, he did not forget her misbehavior. He did not demand actual liberation from the material world, but the end of his devotional service, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared before him, he was simply ashamed of the material demands he had in his mind. So, Prabhupada has given different aspects because here a very different phase of devotee's behavior begins, wherein although he is meeting the Lord, but he is dissatisfied by himself. So, from here on, Acharyas, you know, Maitreya, Vidura, they talk about different aspects. So, Prabhupada has given a big purport. So, Prabhupada is writing, This important verse has been discussed by many stalwart commentators. Why was Dhruva Maharaj not very pleased, even after achieving the goal of his life he desired? Then he answers, a pure devotee is always free from any kind of material desires. In material world, one's material desires are all Jai Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Ki, Jai Shri Gaurang Mahaprabhu Ki, Jai Radha Vrindavan Bihari Ki. In the material world, one's material desires are almost demoniac. One thinks of others as one's enemies, one thinks of revenge against one's enemies, one aspires to become the topmost leader or topmost person in the material world, and thus one competes with all others. This has been described in Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter as Asurik. A pure devotee has no demand from the Lord. His only concern is to serve Lord sincerely and seriously, and he is not at all concerned about what will happen in the future. In Mukundamala Stotra, King Kulshekara, author of the book, states in his prayer, my dear Lord, I don't want any position of sense gratification within this material world. I simply want to engage in your service perpetually. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya in Shikshashtakam also prayed, my Lord, I do not want any amount of material wealth. I do not want any number of materialistic followers, nor do I want any attractive wife to enjoy. The only thing I want is that I may engage life after life in your service. Lord Chaitanya did not pray even for mukti or liberation. So in the first paragraph, Prabhupada is actually setting the example what is to be sought or what has to be always considered the topmost goal for a practicing spiritualist. And here he is giving example of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Lord himself, but in acting as a devotee, how a devotee should be leading his life personally. And he is also quoting Kulshekhara Maharaj. King Kulshekhara, he is one of the Alwars. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he prays, we know from the last chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ante Leela, Shikshashtakam, Nadhanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Vajagadishakamaye, Mama Janmani, Janmani, Ishware Bhavatal, Bhakti Rahitu Kitvai. So, he is telling of a very highest standard which one should be aspiring for, which is nothing material. And even in terms of spirituality, he is talking about insignificant connection with the Lord. And similarly, Kulshekhara Maharaj also brings up this point of
Even he doesn't want liberation from his material present existence, which he is leading. And he just want, and of course, both mentions, you know, in their verses, we see they don't want a beautiful wife. So, as you know, we know that everyone is looking for a good partner. So, all these are considered as a phase or temporary existence of this material world. And here it is said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even did not ask for mukti or liberation. So in the next verse, you know, Prabhupada will be leading that how further, sorry, in the next paragraph, he will be talking about how Dhruva Maharaj's mood was. So here he's just clarified that why he was feeling ashamed. Because after coming face to face with the Lord, he got purified and he started thinking back, oh, what was my previous desire? And that's how he felt embarrassed. So further we go ahead. In this verse, Maitreya replied to Vidura that Dhruva Maharaj, influenced by a revengeful attitude towards his insulting stepmother, did not think of mukti. Nor did he knew what mukti was. So as Prabhupada has mentioned previously, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not asking for mukti also. And here Dhruva Maharaj was so absorbed in his vengeance or revenge that he also didn't think. And he didn't know about this concept also, what is mukti. Therefore, he failed to aim for mukti as his goal in life. But a pure devotee also does not want liberation. That's what Prabhupada is telling, that okay, he didn't know about it out of the mood or maybe out of ignorance, he's not aware of it. But even pure devotee doesn't want what is liberation. He is soul completely surrendered to Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not demand anything from the Lord. This position was realized by Dhruva Maharaj when he saw Supreme Personality of Godhead present personally before him because he was elevated to the Vasudeva platform. The Vasudeva platform refers to the stage at which material contamination is conspicuous by absence only, or in other words, where there is no question of material modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. One can therefore see the Supreme Personality of Godhead because on the Vasudeva platform one can see God face to face. The Lord is also called Vasudev. So here is explaining that although he must not have asked for mukti like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Kulshekhar Maharaj, but it doesn't make a difference. Devotees anyway don't ask for mukti. Of course, he is embarrassed. He is feeling bad about his previous desires because after coming in touch with Lord, seeing him face to face, his beautiful form, and Lord also touching him with the conch on his forehead, he is purified. And Prabhupada is telling that how he has got into a stage called Vasudev, that is purified stage. Like it is further technically explained that like Shuddha Sattva, beyond three modes. Dhruva Maharaj's demand was for a position so exalted that it was never enjoyed even by Lord Brahma, his great grandfather Krishna. Sorry, his great grandfather. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is so affectionate and kind towards his devotee, especially to a devotee like Dhruva Maharaj, who went to render devotional service in forest alone at the age of only 5 years, that although the motive might be impure, the Lord does not consider the motive. He considered with the service. But if a devotee has a particular motive, the Lord directly or indirectly knows it, and therefore he does not leave the devotee's material desires unfulfilled. These are some of the special favors by the Lord to a devotee. So here Prabhupada is going little to the background, that how Dhruva Maharaj started with a very ambitious desire of having to achieve something what he has achieved, what is not even achieved by his great grandfather, Lord Brahma. And he's explaining that although he is going to the forest not to perform pure devotional service but with impure desires, but Lord still is purifying. So I was just thinking, like, this was also actually encouraged to him by his mother, Suniti, that previously your father and your grandfather Manu also have achieved great favors from the Lord by worshipping them. And if we see through the Bhagavatam sections, you know, Lord has like a special favor on complete Dhruva family, you know, all his lineage and everything. Lord personally sends his devotee Narada Muni, who is guiding different people in his dynasty also. So he is so much dear to that extent. So I was just thinking, like, of course, it was his behavior or nature out of Kshatriya background to have revenge or vengeance for some mistreatment or misbehavior. But he also got very strong examples of his Brahmaji, who was his great-grandfather, Manu, his grandfather, and others in his kingdom. So for a particular person to have a very substantial goal that will transform his life and help him to get transformed, it's very important to get very to say very strong examples in life. Normally in nowadays, as we see in guiding students and children's, now it's said that you may teach a child a lot of things theoretically, but at the end he looks at your behavior and learns. So it's norm that goes around is like things or values are not taught, but they are caught. So it's like how we behave and how our conduct has been. You know, recently in classes also we have discussed the importance of character in our life. That causes inspiration. It establishes a tradition, or it makes our behavior legendary, which can be carried forward. So in this terms, for these inspirations, of course, these were so many in Vedic ages, Vedic times. But we always look for current examples also, things around which may transform one's life and day-to-day things. One may consider these things to be far out and not practical, which examples we see. So His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj gives one of the examples of current day only. He explains in US how in mid-30s, there was one mafia person. His name was like Al Capone, some big mafia underworld person, who was doing lot of murders and lot of illegal activities. But he had a very expert lawyer. His name was Easy Eddie. They call him Easy Eddie, who some or the other way always used to get him out of the law, his problems and all the cases which were against him. He was very expert, and legally also they couldn't do anything, although everyone knew there was some problem. But and this person was also paid a lot. He was really paid a huge amount, everything. He was living a lavish life. And this person gradually realized that for what I am doing this, he only had a small son and nothing else. And he was into sense gratification, protecting people who were bad, he knew personally. So he was thinking, and he was in deep affection with his son also. So he was thinking, what I have to give to my son? Actually, what am I doing? Is everything is nothing good. It's said that, but he used to teach his son right values, but he was not satisfied because he knew internally that he was not doing good things himself. So then finally he decided that I have to somehow give up my bad profession. Now it's easy to do wrong things and live a easy life, but it's very difficult to live a righteous and life full of character, setting example and inspiring others, which he especially meant to his son. So then he opened up all the cases which were against this mafia don and proved to the law and the police that actually he is doing all illegal actions. And this don was prosecuted and he was taken inside and all cases ran against him and gradually was imprisoned, life sentenced and all that. But of course, in this process, he was not going to get relief so easily. And later he was killed, this person, Easy AD, by this mafia person only, his people. So that's how it happened. He just wanted to set an example and he opened up. He dared to venture into something which he knew that he is putting forth his life and he is going to be killed, for which he did got death. But he knew that the way of life which is seemingly very easy is not substantial or wholesome or fulfilling to him. That's how he sacrificed. Mainly for his son he wanted to do that. Later few years when there was Second World War, there was one warship of US. Warship is mainly a ship where they have all ammunitions and fighter planes and others from where they control to the Navy, to the opposing army. And they send a whole fleet of their fighter planes to fight ahead. And one plane realized that its fuel was not sufficient. He cannot go further. So he informed the control towers and they told, okay, you come back. So he started coming back. So in the main process, when he was coming back here, he realized that although the whole fleet had gone of the fighter planes towards the enemy had decepted them and come from the other side. So there were 9 fighter planes of Japanese, that was Second World War that time. So they were coming and they were attacking, going to attack the warship, which was completely exposed to their attack. And it was only a question of minutes that they will be completely destroyed and they will be opening up the path for a further penetration by the enemy. So then he started single-handedly attacking all of them. And he was really fighting like a mad, crazy person. His ammunition got finished. In the process, when his ammunition, his bullets and rockets and everything got finished, he realized he can't do anything. So he started going and trying to crash and head-on collision with the opposing planes, fighter planes, trying to cut off their fins, wings and others. That way he started colliding and crashing them. So there were 9 fighter planes and out of that, 4 or 5 got crashed in such a way. And they were really surprised by a single person. He's finished 5 of us, so what will happen? And so 4 of them ran back. And that's how he was able to stop the attack. And he won highest bravery award of US Navy that time. So, and he was considered one of the great patriots of US nation. So, who was this person? So, this person was the son of the same, this lawyer who died a few years back, who's known as Easy AD. And after this person, there's an airport they have made, O'Hare Airport, which is famous among devotees also because it's like his end name is H-A-R-E. So we call it Hare and they call it here. So O'Hare Airport is there and so devotees do book distributions and other things. So his monument and others are still there, kept there in that airport. So that was the kind of inspiration he got and he got transformed. So it's very important how we lead our personal life and what we talk. Of course, talking is important because shastras are mentioning it, and we may not be purified about to follow that, but still we need to carry forward. But personal conduct is also important to a large extent. So that's how he got inspired. Another story we came across was this was in Russia. In Russia, there was one person who was working in railways. So he had a, this was shown to us. This documentary was shown to us by His Grace Pathri Prabhu when he came from Nepal. He's from Russia and serving there. So he was showing that there was a person from who worked in railways, and he had a small son, like 11, 12 years old. So he used to take him away with his son. His son was in holidays, school holidays. So he was taking him to his job place also whenever he was doing, and his son used to be around, moving what is happening. So one time it so happened that his son was playing other side, and he was in his cabin from where he controls the railway lanes, no? Different lanes which they change to change the direction or connect to a bridge. There was a bridge also. So although he had put light on for signal for the train not to come, to stop, but the railway driver didn't see the signal. It was something wrong with the train control. So he didn't see it. So then he crossed the signal, and because he was knowing that already I put there a signal, so I don't need to look around. He was into something else. He was not looking what is going out. So his son was looking out what is happening. So he saw that the train is coming. Of course, that was a little long distance, but it was circular, so the son could make out and could understand the train is coming. His father is not looking at, because he knows, father is thinking that, okay, I have put the signal off, so no one need to come. They should be halting out there. But the person there in the control has not seen the signal, or he has undermined or something, and he has crossed the signal and is coming. So his son went personally to inform his father, but father was in cabin and at a distance, so he couldn't convey, and father also didn't understand. So then son went himself near where the place where they shift, no, like the lanes of the bridge that connect. So he went there personally to move it around, and he couldn't do. He was small, and there was no sufficient control out there also, like levers and all. So, and meanwhile, the father realized, okay, the train has come, but how it has come? I have put signal on it, but okay, it has come. And then, okay, he puts his lever on, and then where his son was himself trying to put the bridge or lanes together of the railway lanes, he connected from here and it got joined out there, and his son got stuck out there, and now the train was in very short distance. So then he realized that his son has already tried to convey him, and he's now got stuck out there, and now he has only two choices: either he removes what the control he has put to connect the rails, and the bridge will be open, and his son will be moved off. His son can save himself, but the train which is coming with so many people inside will meet an accident, and number of people will be getting killed. So he knew. Another way is, like, if he continues it, the train will kill the son. His son will be dying, but it can cross over without much any damage to the train. So looking at this way, he went for the second choice. And in this second choice, he went almost close to the lane, on the window side, cursing the driver, no, for all mismanage, what are you doing, and my son is there, now he's going to lose his life, and now you have already crossed, and the train crossed, and his son got caught, and severe damages, and others, But he was shouting out of pain and everything. So there were people inside the train looking out, what is happening, why this person out of nowhere in the forest area, this is shouting. And one person out there, she was a lady, she realized that he had got this stuck her, his son by mistake out there. And of course the mistake has been of the driver out there, but no one can be blamed now what has happened. But this person's character came out, that how he sacrificed his son for the sake of whole people. And then this story ends here, and that's how he was like in complete kind of insanity, because he when he recovered his son, he was almost in too many injuries and he has died. So of course throughout this he was blaming the driver and others in the train who were controlling, but it didn't happen that way. When many years later, then he was in a depressed state and living kind of insane kind of thing in the city. This lady, who could observe these two things, you know, what has happened to this person, she met him in a city after a long time, no? And she started speaking to him. That time he was like again old person, and this was like she was also a you know, like having children and others, this lady. So she told him, okay, I can identify, I can recall you, you are the same person there. Yeah. Then he was he also acknowledged, yes, yeah, that was incident and it has still pained me, I can never forget that incident. So she told that actually that time in my train I was completely addicted to drugs. I was taking drugs and I was into bad association and all illicit connections and everything. But when I saw you, that you are sacrificing so much for others, now just your son, and I could understand, then I was it made me think what I am doing with my life. Personally, the life out may be so much distracting, so many other things. So then I decided to have a very, you know, substantial goal in life and leading a very, to say, straightforward and God-fearing life with proper, ethics, and just not being carefree attitude, taking everything for granted. Developing humility and gratitude for all the gifts Lord has given for our existence. So he was impressed. So the main thing was like how it takes to inspire others. It's not so easy to inspire others and transform others what we are into. So because the forces of Maya, you know, like 17, 7.14. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says like Mam Maya Durataya, it's not easy to give up this energy, this external energy. We may be thinking, but it's so much subtle and so much gross. We may be thinking, okay, I have everything, what, so what, so what. But to generate this feeling of sacrifice, humility, gratefulness, gratitude for whatever we have, it's not so easy. And it needs a lot of sacrifice by previous acharyas, as they claim. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that I want 200 gallons of blood from all of my preachers or devotees who are going out to give the message of the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to others. So these are like few reflections I had on as far as it is concerned with inspiration. Now, here also, Dhruv Maharaj, of course, he had that kind of agitation, and but he also had examples in his life of previous descendants. So that's how these are the examples we see. And these are actually natural. Now, we have our false ego, but if it is diverted in a right direction, then it helps us. As we see in Bhagavad Gita, initially Krishna is actually kind of when he's chastising Arjuna, he's reminding him of his background. Now you are a Kshatriya, you have so much big lineage, no one has done it this way. So these are, he's trying to revive his examples which he had in his life. So it's very important to have positive examples in our life. So going ahead with Prabhupada's purport, next paragraph, Dhruva Maharaj was offered a Dhruvloka, a planet that was never resided even by any conditioned soul. Even Brahma, the topmost living creature within this universe, was not allowed to enter into Dhruvloka. Whenever there is a crisis within this universe, the demigods go to see Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shirodakshaya Vishnu, and they stand on the beach of the milk ocean. So the fulfillment of Dhruva Maharaj's demand, a position more exalted than that even of his great-grandfather Brahma, was offered to him. So we see, which is never given to even Brahma. Brahmaji is also not given access there. He is given to Dhruva Maharaj. So next Prabhupada speaks of, here in this verse, the Lord is described as Muktipati, which means one under whose lotus feet there are all kinds of mukti. There are five kinds of mukti: Sayujya, Sarupya, Salukya, Samipya and Sarishti. Out of these five muktis, which can be achieved by any person engaged in devotional service to the Lord, the one which is known as Sayujya is generally demanded by Mayavadi philosophers. They demand to become one with the impersonal Brahman effulgence of the Lord. In the opinion of many scholars, this Sayujya Mukti, although counted among the five kinds of Mukti, is not actually Mukti, because from Sayujya Mukti one may again fall down to this material world. This information we have from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32, wherein it is said Patanti Adha, which means they again fall down. The monist philosopher, after executing severe austerities, merge into impersonal effulgence of the Lord. But the living entity always wants reciprocation in loving affairs. Therefore, although the monist philosopher is elevated to the status of being one with the effulgence of the Lord, because there is no facility for association with the Lord and rendering service unto him, he again falls into this material world. And his service propensity is satisfied by materialistic welfare activities like humanitarianism, altruism and philanthropy. There are many instances of such fall downs, even for great sannyasis in Mayavada school. So here Prabhupada is bringing out of how Muktipati, about verse where Muktipati, as Lord is addressed as Muktipati, and Prabhupada is telling how Mayavadis are very much after this Mukti. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita we see example of Sarvam Bhattacharya. How Sarvam Bhattacharya was previously a great monist, a Mayavadi, but got transformed in association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to such an extent that he wanted to change the verse. One of the verses from where it was Mukti Pade to Bhakti Pade. Yeah, so he wanted to change to such an extent that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to console him. No, it's okay. We don't need to get into changing into the tradition things. And we also see about Brahmananda Bharati, who was also a monist, wearing deer skin, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again correcting him also to come back to right path. Jai Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagwan Ki, Jai Shri Gaurang Mahaprabhu Ki Chai. So next verse, next paragraph. Therefore, Vaishnava philosophers do not accept Sayujya Mukti to be within the category of Mukti. According to them, Mukti means transferal of loving service of the Lord from one's position of serving Maya. Lord Chaitanya also says in connection that the constitutional position of living entity is to render service to the Lord. This is real mukti. When one is situated in his original position, giving up artificial position, he is called mukta or liberated. In Bhagavad Gita, this is confirmed. Anyone who engages in rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord is considered to be mukta or Brahma Bhuta. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that a devotee is considered to be a Brahma Bhuta platform when he has no material contamination. In Padma Puran, this is also confirmed. Mukti means engaged in the service of the Lord. So, Prabhupada is giving different references how mukti actually means completely being engaged in service of the Lord. Next paragraph. The great sage Maitreya explained that Dhruva Maharaj did not desire in the beginning to engage in the service of the Lord, but he wanted an exalted position better than his great-grandfather. This is more or less not service to the Lord, but service to the senses. Even if one gets the position of Brahma, the most exalted position in this material world, he is a conditioned soul. Srila Prabhupada Saraswati says that if one is elevated to real pure devotional service, he considers even great demigods like Brahma and Indra to be on an equal level with insignificant insect. The reason is that an insect has a desire for sense gratification, and even a great personality like Lord Brahma also wants to dominate this material nature. So here Prabhupada is bringing out how sense gratification is not something rare. It is enjoyed by everyone. Everyone has, to his capacity, to his limit, sense gratification. Only overindulgence is a problem. And of course, Dhruva Maharaj is again spoken of like having something impure, desire. So in this category, although we consider Dhruva Maharaj for asking Lord something, we also have like different other devotees also. We have Gajendra asking for help from Lord, Supreme Lord, for his life, protection for his life. We have Draupadi also, Draupadi praying to the Lord. But all these categories seemingly, maybe they are asking something help from the Lord, but they cannot be considered inferior. Although in 7.16, Prabhupada is systematically explaining that how, and in the beginning paragraph also we saw that how one should have unalloyed devotional service and nothing else to ask from the Lord. But here, although circumstantially we see Dhruva Maharaj is asking something, Draupadi is asking something, Gajendra is asking something, these are not to be considered inferior also. These are also, because they are ultimately approaching the Lord. And to some similar lines, we can also see Ajamil also. Ajamil, although he is nowhere any intention, but by the power of the name, the holy name, if we see the sixth canto, again, that's one of the big purports Prabhupada has given, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also has explained in explaining the glories of the holy name. So Ajamil also is completely unintentionally, but asking for a help only, but he gets the benefit. And we see Kalia also. Kalia is being chastised heavily, punished by Krishna, and then he comes back to his senses that I don't have sufficient strength. He is praying to the Lord. But these are to be considered nice prayers, nothing to be considered like, you know, inferior or something. It's very difficult to subdue one's false ego and surrender to an authority or, you know, the superior. And that's how Krishna is teaching us systematically. Next paragraph. Sense gratification means domination over material nature. This Prabhupada is coming to a little generalized aspect. The whole competition between conditioned souls is based upon domination of this material nature. Modern scientists are proud of their knowledge because they are discovering new methods to dominate the laws of material nature. They think that the advancement of human civilization, the more they dominate the material laws, the more advanced they think they are. Dhruva Maharaj's propensity in beginning was like that. He wanted to dominate the material world in a great position than Lord Brahma. Therefore, elsewhere it is described that after the appearance of Lord, when Dhruva Maharaj thought and compared his determination to be a f to his final reward. He realized that he had wanted few particles of broken glass, but instead he had received many diamonds. As soon as he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, he immediately became conscious of the unimportance of his demand from the Lord to have an exalted position better than Lord Brahma's. So this comes in Hari Bhakti Suddhodaya, where glories of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj has been explained, where he explains that I was looking for pieces of glasses, but I ended up having diamonds. Next paragraph. When Dhruva Maharaj became situated on the Vasudev platform due to seeing the Lord face to face, all his material contamination was cleared. Thus he became ashamed of what his demands were and what he had achieved. He was very much ashamed to think that although he had gone to Madhuvan, giving up kingdom of his father, he had gotten a spiritual master like Narad Muni. He was still thinking of revenge against the stepmother and wanted to occupy an exalted position within his material world. These are the causes of moroseness even after he received all the desired benediction from the Lord. So again, Prabhupada is coming back to from beginning about the lamentation of and the reason for his lamentation. When Dhruva Maharaj factually saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there was no question of revengeful attitude towards his stepmother, nor an aspiration to lord it over the material world. But Supreme Personality is so kind that he knew Dhruva Maharaj wanted these. Speaking before Dhruva Maharaj, he used the word Vedaham, because when Dhruva Maharaj demanded material benefits, the Lord was present within his heart, and so he knew everything. The Lord always knows everything a man is thinking. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita also. Vedaham Samtitani. So Lord knew about Dhruva Maharaj's internal desire. Final paragraph. The Lord fulfilled all Dhruva Maharaj's desires. His revenge attitude towards his stepmother and stepbrother was satisfied. His desire for a more exalted position than that of a great-grandfather was also fulfilled. At the same time, his eternal position in Dhruva Loka was also fixed. Although Dhruva Maharaj's achievement of an eternal planet was not conceived of by him, Krishna thought, what will Dhruva do with an exalted position with this material world? Therefore, he gave Dhruva Maharaj opportunity to rule the material world for 36,000 years with unchangeable senses and chance to perform many great sacrifices and thus become the most reputed king within the material world. And after finishing with all the material enjoyment, Dhruva Maharaj would be promoted to the spiritual world, which includes Dhruva Loka. Thus the purport ends. And we have few minutes. Speaking again on this aspect of lamentation or regret of Dhruva Maharaj, now I was hearing of the speakers before, and very interesting things came up. One speaker spoke of how this is a regret or victim consciousness of Dhruva Maharaj, which can literally cause harm to any person. So it shouldn't be developed, this lamentation or regret or bad feeling or victim consciousness shouldn't be developed, because it hurts oneself only. And that was a very nice concept. I liked the point. And later another speaker also spoke of like that, how this lamentation or regret actually is part of devotional service. That was also very interesting. Both seems to be contradicting views, but I don't think it is much of a difference, because he also substantiated his examples that how our acharyas and examples explain that love in separation has to be there. So the lamentation and feeling of regret for our previous anarthas or wrongdoings is not a problem. It can be done. It is part of bhakti. Another devotee who was telling that it shouldn't be practiced, it harms us in long run, a regret life throughout, because he was considering his stepmother and stepbrother as a cause for his own suffering, and he was in victim consciousness. So two examples come to my mind in this contest. One, of course, in first canto, when Kali, personified as a Shudra, is punishing Dharma, personified as bull, and Earth, personified as a cow, and is beating them. And Parikshit Maharaj happens to go there and see, and he asks the bull and the cow, who have done you this condition? Who has hurt you? And they are not pointing out to Kali. Kali personified as a Shudra. So it was actually beyond my conception, because it's not very easy to not blame a instant person or a trigger or whoever has been in a cause for your suffering. But that is one of the concept promoted by Bhagavatam also, that one shouldn't cause or see the immediate cause or things happening to you to be the real cause of your condition or bad situation. So that was one the incident I could connect, where actually having a victim consciousness or having being regretful actually hurts us in long run, and that's not healthy as far as spiritual aspect is concerned. Another example is of Avanti Brahman, who towards the end, when he was being tortured by people around and many other things, he didn't consider demigods as problem, other relatives as problems, or other people as problems to his that situation, but his own mind. He took responsibility of his own mind to be his condition which he was being made to undergo. So that was one where he didn't blame anyone. He didn't have that kind of victim consciousness. So that way that speaker was going in those lines. Other speakers, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, no? He has written so many bhajans in Dainya Bhav, where he is belittling himself and telling, I am so much sinful, and he's kind of regret. But that leads to our progress in devotional service. So both the viewpoints, actually in a right perspective, increases our devotional service. So we'll end here. We are almost 8:30, we are completed. So we can't take questions. We'll speak if someone has personal. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.